Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gatecast. We are a bit time-crunched. Alan isn't online at the moment, so it was just me and Brad. How you doing, Brad?
Good. Good, Mike.
Yes. Unfortunately, we'd agreed 5 o'clock, and it was about half past five, and Brad says, "Are we recording?" Which is a bit of a slap in the face when he didn't turn up the last time we recorded with him.
Oh, really?
Now with the shoes on the other foot. Yes, we did.
Oh.
Anyway, this week's episode is Counter-Strike. Looking forward to this.
Hmm. That's a pivotal point in season 10, I believe.
Quite right, yeah. First time we see Adria, not as a little girl, so it's quite all right to be pervy about her.
It doesn't feel as bad this time.
This time? Let's drop that. Right, since Alan is liable to turn up sometime during the recording, at which point we'll pause it and then do the editing magic and make everything all right, I suppose we'll jump straight in. But first, let's have a promo from the Batcave podcast.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman. It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks! Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Are you ready, Brad?
I sure am.
Okay, then, I'll do the standard 3-2-1 countdown. We are on the Region 2 DVD version of this episode. Runtime, a shade under 42 minutes. Right then, 3-2-1, click.
Previously, on Stargate SG-1.
And we've got Tilk doing the previously. A few of Dakara as they took out the replicators.
Yes, and you reuse the effect again.
Oh, yes. Jafar on
Dakara. It's not a weapon, technically.
Yeah, we're all for technicalities.
Wait, where are you going? I want to see. Can I hold her? She's my baby.
The baby Adria, being taken away by the Prior. Mm. I always like they've got the kind of the choral music in the background whenever the Ori or the Priors are on screen.
Mm.
Really adds to the effect.
Yep, sure does.
Fully grown figurehead in a day or so.
Leave me, grab her.
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Not a baby anymore.
No. That's it, Grand Bala.
Ah, freaky eyes.
Best decision you ever made.
The enemy is led by a young woman of extraordinary powers.
Not going well.
Kids, eh? You really wouldn't want to wake up and see that parked outside, would you?
No. Taken up a considerable field.
For the darkness of your world has been lifted so the light of origin may shine upon it.
Okay. Yeah, cowards, jeering. Just because there's a giant spaceship parked. Oh, love the hat, Sam. This Prior got his hood up, so obviously he hasn't got a shaven head. Peter Nicholas Mythe.
Yeah, he didn't tick that box on the auditions.
Hear the words of the Orisai.
Here we go. Full-grown Adria.
Mm.
I'm not quite sure about the where it is around the neck.
Yeah.
It kind of hides a very statuesque neck.
Mm.
They took up arms in an attempt to suppress the truth. But they failed and were vanquished. A reminder to all that origin cannot be extinguished. It will flourish throughout this world and countless others.
Yeah. Adria, of course, is played by Marina Baccarin, born in Rio de Janeiro. Obviously from Firefly, also recently in Homeland, Mentalist, Heartland. Makes 5 appearances in Stargate SG-1 and The Ark of Truth.
Only 5.
Surprisingly, isn't it?
Yeah.
but pivotal when you consider there's only, what, just over a dozen episodes left.
Yeah, true.
To spread the message by joining the armies of the Ori.
Look at him.
African tribal or something.
I wonder what you whispered there.
Sir, I'm picking up an energy reading coming from the surface of the planet. What is it?
It's a big spherical rock that orbits the sun. But that's not important now.
Sir, emanating from the gate, spreading fast. Get him out of there.
Now, this I had trouble with. I'd have thought the gate was literally within spitting distance of the village. They normally are. So they've had time to analyse energy pattern and beam them out. There they go. Sorry, folks. Gotta go.
Even that shot, that's a long way from the gate.
Yeah.
Sir, I'm not picking up any life signs on the planet.
It's impossible.
Well, that's it. How did Adria not know a mother wasn't there or recognise those people? They do kind of stand out.
She knew all of those, putting on an act in front of them.
Could be, yeah. Now, that's another thing. There are thousands of people. I know most of the planet's millions of people have been, you know, pulled or in Pegasus, but what's the excuse in the Milky Way?
Well, especially a lot of these worlds, like this one, you can see there's no Gould. It doesn't look like the Gould have been there before, so there's no reason why their population would be stunted.
No, you'd think, okay, maybe they're not technological where there's tens of millions of people, but you'd think there'd be a lot more than there should be.
More than one village of 100 people near the gate.
Right then, Counter-Strike, Season 10, Episode 7 of Stargate SG-1, Gatecast, Episode 244. This episode was directed by Andy Makita and written by Joseph Malozzi. Partner Paul Mully didn't do a lot of the writing for this episode. And it's a US premiere, August 25th, 2006. In the UK, we got it November the 29th, Canada, December the 14th, Sweden, November the 9th, 2007, and the Japanese, November the 25th, 2008. Episodes from series of the same name, The Adventurer, Whale Wars, House of Brian, Battle Plan Under Fire. And there also were a US TV movie in 1990 and a theatrical movie in 2002 of the same name. Okay, we're back then.
Back into the spiral corridor.
I think when they, you know, extended the set a bit, really made it look realistic. You know, as you said, we know they're going round in circles or figure of eights or whatever. But it does look pretty good. Better than the Prometheus did, anyway.
Yeah, but even there behind her, you can see there's a separate corridor.
Yeah.
Where another series of circles probably begins. Just, it's not just one loop. They can cross over.
The walls are movable, so yeah. You know, as soon as the camera's off them, they get moved or just rotated. Another corridor.
Well, you don't think I'd want to be responsible for the enslavement of an entire galaxy, do you?
It was hardly your fault.
I knew she was a will of the Ori even before she was born. I could have done something about it, but I didn't.
She was your child.
Maternal instinct can only excuse so much.
Now, this scene was originally written so that Vala would be upset over what Adria were doing. It was Rob C. Cooper who wanted actually written that she'd be relieved, you know, the burden lifted from her a bit.
Yep.
She's a realist. She can't do anything about Adria.
And that suits her character too.
Yeah.
Unscheduled off-world activation.
Which is really a good thing.
Chief, receiving Braytax IDC, sir.
Open the iris.
Don't tell us. Bad news.
Braytax. What brings you by?
A matter that threatens millions of lives.
Again?
It always is. What would happen if he just turned up with a bottle and said, "Hi guys, I've come for a visit."
Last time was Anubis, and now
someone else. Yeah, I brought the pizza and the beer. Alien fruit. No cassa.
Oranges and apples, though.
There's no sign of residual radiation, sir.
No chemical or biological agents in the atmosphere. The place is clean. The weird thing is,
whatever it was, it only seems to have targeted living tissue, because everything else was left behind.
I think sometimes it's a waste of time trying to make the fruit look alien. Just go with it.
Mm.
If you're watching a show like this, you're not going to nitpick the fact that there's a pear or a pineapple on a fruit stall.
Well, that's it. You never know. If people, cultures eating purple oranges, well, you don't know what that's going to do to the body. They could be purple skin.
Martin Christopher, who played Major Marks, he had a a friendly discussion with the director over which side of the helm he should be sitting. They had to get the producers down to actually say that's where he should be sitting. The commentary was Joseph Malozzi and Andy Makita. He said they all did it with a smile on his face. Last time he was on the show, Martin was actually sitting in the other chair.
Hours ago, the first target was struck. A planet.
We already know about it. SG-1 was there, doing recon. They were beamed out before your weapon could hit them. The villagers weren't so lucky.
I think that's the only time we've seen the roof of the briefing table. That looks real. I'm glad to see there's an actual roof there, but...
Yeah.
Normally, cameras face-to-face like this, and you never see up.
And so you imagine even a standing set would have light rigging overhead.
Mm.
So if they have to film the roof, they have to make actual decision beforehand. Do you think that's an insert, you know, a matte picture or something? Because you'd think there would be lighting rigs.
Yeah, yeah. Standard fluoros and that wouldn't light a set properly. They'd have to have all the extra lighting in that to get the light cones and that right.
Either way, it does look good. And so does that.
I'm ashamed that my brothers have utilized these methods.
They're desperate.
There is no honor. Freedom without honor is meaningless.
Nice. Freedom without honor.
Hmm.
Although, losing with honor is not always a good thing either.
Unmanned and unguarded.
And only now they've picked up that the ship's sitting there not doing nothing.
Yeah.
You haven't acted quickly enough, as usual.
Get it. Yes, another alien spaceship full of corridors.
Yes.
You've got to admire both the Jafar and the Ori. They build things big.
Mm.
You look at the Daedalus class, it's a lot more compact. Certainly not that sort of headroom.
We got a lot of ground to cover. Time to split up.
But braziers, why?
But that's because we had our ships, we had the Asgard help build them, and they're only 4 foot tall. So it's yeah. Lucky we got the roof ceilings as high as we did.
Yeah. Anything over 5 foot is an indulgence.
Mm. Yeah, climate control for something that big is...
Well, yeah, I suppose the more open space it is, the harder it is to heat or cool down. Or...
Yep, well, that's it, life support. Like, the amount of extra oxygen that corridor has to have in it.
You said, believe it or not, I know how you feel. What did you mean?
Now, this is interesting. This is Daniel opening up to Valor.
Mm.
Doesn't happen very often.
10 years ago, my wife was taken as host by a ghoul.
7 year callback.
Yeah, a lot of people going, Daniel, were married? Oh, yes, of course he was. And killed her.
Mm.
Her name was Charay. We were married for just over a year when she was taken.
At least, unlike Dilk, he wasn't dating the next episode.
What happened?
I joined SG-1 and searched for her for over 2 years, but in the end, I couldn't save her. For a long time, I felt guilty that I'd failed her.
And now?
Now I can at least draw comfort from the fact that she's no longer suffering at the hands of the Gould.
Suffering is debatable.
Yeah.
I guess in a small way, I feel relieved as well.
Aminette wasn't suffering at all. Oh, so sensitive. Mm. I love him even more. Come back, Daniel. Let me hug you. Feel better. Tilt, only one gun. What's up with him?
Same sword.
Yes. I'm going to say, brace yourself. This is going to look pretty good if they're making a song and dance about it.
It's supposed to, anyway.
I'm no expert, but... this looks important.
It appears to be a power generation chamber.
Exactly. Which has me thinking. Could be a good place to drop a little C4.
It looks a lot like that chamber in Trinity when McKay zero point energy on a huge scale.
Mm.
That would make sense because we've seen the Ori ships, the power they generate, use their shields and weapons, comes down to how much power they can direct a target or...
Well, that's it. The power is only proportionate to how much power plant you have.
Yeah, I mean, the Asgard shields, if you had pretty much unlimited power, they probably could stand up to the Ori weaponry as well.
Yeah, we see what happens when you plug a ZPM into the system later. It gives it a good power boost.
I've already advised the Pentagon that I'm heading off-world. I may be a while.
They call these the dynamic duo.
This is a diplomatic mission, Chief. The last time I checked, the Jafar were our allies. I can't go disrespecting them in their own house.
If you say so, sir.
Sometimes you make the right decision, sometimes you make the decision right.
Patton.
That one's Dr. Phil. Now, if you excuse me, Raytac is waiting.
It was nice commentary with Joseph and Andy. He was also saying that he actually bought the Firefly box set. He's right, though. He should be taking an honour guard at the very least.
Yeah, even some covert guys in suits or something just to put back on.
Well, you'd expect that. You know, the head of the Jafar wouldn't go anywhere without bodyguards.
I think it might be the bridge. And it looks like the main command interface is a chair, similar to the weapons platform in Antarctica.
Well, it makes sense that the technology would be similar to the ancients.
So, the robes here, are they implying that a prior died here?
Yes, why?
Because that's the prior staff.
Yep.
So does that mean there was a prior with Adria and a prior? Seems overindulgence.
True.
Don't sweat it, Plan B is in place.
Okay, let's not jump the gun just yet. At the very least, I'd like to try to get some information out of this database before we start blowing things up.
We have tech available. Let's blow it up.
Well, that's the problem. Either they wait too long, or they blow stuff up, which could have been useful. Spidey senses tingling. Oh, prize! I do like the black uniforms. I think I've said that before.
Yeah, one thing they did do well was sort of change up, whether it was the Desert Fatigues or now in the season 9 and 10 where they've gone into the black uniform as well.
Yeah.
I am Burrell of the Free Jafar, and we have come to lay claim to this vessel.
Slow down, brother. We were here first.
This is Burrell, first and only appearance on the show, Richard Wyton, an American actor. He's been in Bermuda Tentacles, which I've ordered on Blu-ray. Days of Our Lives, which is USO, NCIS, Alias and Joey. Pretty busy actor over the years.
Thousands of innocents.
No one is innocent who joins with my enemy.
They actually said in the commentary that they really enjoyed the character and his portrayal. Unfortunately, like many of them, they killed him off.
You know, we're at the stage now where the first primes aren't hanging around for as long.
Yeah. You know, they write a character and kill him off and then realise when they film it, they quite like it.
Yeah, he pulled it off. He's definitely a commander, though. He hasn't been for a run around the Huttak in a while.
That's not going to happen.
Colonel Mitchell.
Man, we got trouble.
He'll I like that.
Even firing the ground.
He may not be shooting them directly, but the ricochet is going to really ruin the feet.
Well, yeah, you'd assume it was steel-plated floor.
Yeah, they know they carry armor-piercing rounds, just in case they come across any Jafar with armor.
Major?
Something's wrong. I can't get a lock on them.
How many times have we said, carry more Zats? How useful are they? Oh, there we go. So much for SG-1. Jack wouldn't have been caught like this. Burrell, dangerous to wear cloak. Haven't you seen The Incredibles?
No, Cap.
Odyssey, what's happening?
We're getting too much signal degradation for successful beam up.
As far as I can tell, malfunction's not coming from this end.
Guys, we've got a problem.
The Odyssey can't beam us out.
Why not?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but I think I may have activated the shields.
Why would you do that? It wasn't intentional.
So Hammers turned on the shield, which is the writer's idea to negate the transponders they're wearing in the arms, as they can't be beamed out to save the day.
SG-1, this is Odyssey. Three attack vessels are moving into positions around the planet.
Which lends another problem, because I suppose it's not implied at the moment that the Prior has full control of the ship there. You'd think that he's got some offsiders running systems as well.
Well, that's a question to it. How many Priors are there in the Milky Way? It seems like at least there's one per ship.
Plus there'd be probably a dozen more out there trying to convert worlds.
Yes.
But at what cost? Leave us.
I tell you, the Jaffa Council do go through their leaders. This is Sitak, played by David Andrews, the American actor. He's recently been in Crisis, Justified, Covert Affairs. Bit further back, Surface, Jag, and Enterprise.
Terminator 3.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'd just seen him there. I thought that's what I last recognised him from. 2001 or 2003, so.
That's it. Sometimes you see an actor, you can't remember where he's from. You know, someone else can say, you were in that. And you go, oh, yeah.
Well, I knew he's from Enterprise, but I hadn't watched it, so.
Yes, he was playing Tripson.
Yeah.
Or Great-Great-Grandson or whatever.
We now face an enemy powerful enough to have rendered our conventional weapons useless. Your forces have proven equally ineffective.
Yes, he's got a very pronounced southern accent, so he had a little bit of trouble, you know, reining it in for this episode.
If future attacks against armies of the Ori allow us to recover enough of their ships, we will then have a powerful fleet with which to strike back against them.
All these scenes he's in, they were shot on the same day. Pretty busy schedule. I suppose that's what they've got to do with the Gesar. You know, they don't always have them for 2 or 3 days, plus additional cost.
Yep.
Granted, the cost of victory is great. But the cost of defeat would be even greater.
Now, he's making a valid argument. I mean, when you're fighting not for your lives, but for your very society and culture as a whole, where do you draw the line?
And considering the enemy is sort of one in all in, if you're not with them, you're going to get wiped out by them anyway, so...
Yeah, and they've shown that they're incapable of matching them on a technological basis in a firefight.
Yeah, and here they have the one weapon that can stand up to them. It's sort of... they make it seem justified.
Oh, yeah. In a land-based terrestrial war, when do you get out of the chemical and biological and nuclear weaponry?
But unfortunately, they've gone for the one planet at a time, so... And we've seen Adria knows what's going on now, or sensed what was going to happen, so...
Well, yeah, they should have known when they went after the replicators, it was all or nothing.
Yeah.
Don't give them time to respond.
Which, yeah, you'd think the only way they could achieve it is if they took on Bol's reason of thinking and take out every human at once and just start your own little world and hope they don't come for you.
Forget the Tari.
Well, she's back at the village, probably gone through the gate by now.
You are lying.
I think this guy means business, Cameron. Mm-hmm.
This is a message to all Tauri on board this vessel. My name is Burrell. My brothers and I have taken this ship in the name of all free Jafar. We have Tilt and Colonel Mitchell in custody. Surrender now and no harm will come to them.
Radios can communicate through the ship's intercom.
Useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything's interchangeable.
I didn't know they could broadcast on all channels, all frequencies.
You'd think normally, you know, the whole point of them is that they can't, you know, restricted and encrypted and all sorts.
So be it.
Here, the US Air Force, Dell laptops.
Yes. Daniel
Jackson, Stargate Command. Listen, there's no reason we should be fighting each other. We should be working together.
Yeah, that works.
I'm afraid that would not be possible.
Look, we're dealing with some very advanced technology, and we have some experience that might be useful.
Gallo, what the hell is going on? This could be even less coherent than my usual commentary. Can't imagine why.
Okay then, folks. Alan has joined us. Welcome aboard, Alan.
Thank you.
My orders are to take this ship and all on board. You will reveal your location to me now.
I think they've found you.
Yep.
That's because you're talking so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they look young.
They should have at least closed the door when I went in there.
Yeah. How long would it take you to search that ship? What are the odds that they just were upon you?
Well done. Hold them until our patrols find the control room.
I wonder what version of USB that laptop's on me.
You're making a big mistake. More Ori ships will be here soon.
Then they will suffer the same fate.
Valor's not taking this seriously. Ew.
Uh-oh.
Collar's a bit tight, lads.
Yeah. Well, they might have been young, but they're not getting any older.
I'm flying. Oh, look how it is.
Hi, Mommy, I'm home.
Aren't you dead?
Hello, Mother.
Eek.
Yes.
Oh, Daniel, seriously.
Really? You just, after what you just...
She could beat you to death with that staff weapon, with a mind.
That'd be funny, half an hour with a whiffle bat. Mind control whiffle bat.
You're doing this to yourself.
Stop hitting yourself.
I've missed you, Mother. They said I should forget about you. That you'd abandon me because you didn't care.
No.
I knew you'd come back for me.
Okay, why are you having the family reunion? Stop strangling Daniel.
I was saved by this. It holds a piece of the holy city of Celestis. It protects me, keeps me safe. Well, soon the other ships will come for us. And once we're back with the fleet, I promise you, Mother, we'll never be separated again.
Eyes are a really freaky colour.
Yes, that's the only problem with the contacts. They don't look realistic.
No, they look flat and reptilian and dead.
Yeah.
Well, more like Rolling V, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah, that's right.
There are some who hold the Tauri in great esteem for the assistance they provided us against the Gua'uld.
Well, look, magic light generating device.
You control the power of light.
While I recognize the contributions made, I question the motive. I suspect it had more to do with self-preservation than generosity. We had a common enemy, and as much as the Tauri would have us believe that we could not have defeated the Gua'uld without them, I know better.
He's right, it was vested self-interest.
Mm.
But he's been a bit of a naive fool if he thought that Jafar, without the aid of the Tauri, would overthrow the Gua'uld.
Mm.
Yep.
No disrespect to him, but it was Braytak and Tilk pretty much commanded the whole thing.
Isn't that a detonator?
Yes, it is.
Lucky enough.
They planted the C4.
Oh, that's right.
There you go.
What's the big glowy bit?
Well, just in case any bad guys are walking around and say, what's that?
What is the big glowy bit?
The main energy generating device.
We've never seen one of those before.
No, this is the first time they've been on the ship, isn't it? What you done?
Find out what's happening.
Is this an Aurai ship? Sorry, like I said, I'm still playing catch up here.
Yes, this is an Aurai ship.
Yep.
It's the one that landed on the planet.
I should have guessed from the sort of circular design thingies. I would have thought those things were too heavy to land and take off again.
Using our technology, yes.
We're not rejoining the fleet. You're coming with me.
No, I can't abandon my army.
It's not your army.
Of course it is.
Well, as your mother, I'm putting my foot down. You're too young to have your own army.
Yes, you tell her, Valor. I'll take you over my knee and spank you.
Tell me what happened to my people here on this planet.
No, don't. He doesn't know anything.
I can't talk while you're choking me.
Yeah. Good point.
Adria!
You have a strong mind. Wake up, Jafar.
Zombies. This is what Stargate needed, zombies. The return of the Cold Warriors. Looks like she's really enjoying it. I tell her, mate.
So is this Darth Adria?
Yeah, could be.
What happened to the believers who came to spread origin to this world?
The Force is strong with this one.
Yours is a backward people, too primitive to have created such an effective weapon. So tell me, how did it come into your hands? Where is it? Stop. Don't interfere, Mother.
Ooh. Temper. Send it to a room.
You're going to the naughty spot.
Tilt hasn't moved for the last hour.
Well, maybe he's doing Calnari.
Do they have to guard him so close?
Within arm's reach, that's risky.
Oof. That's why they guard him so close. Can get punching. Well done, Sam. Save the boys again.
Didn't know you knew how to use one of those things.
Well, piece of cake.
Just checking his toys are still here. That's Cameron.
Where is the weapon?
Takara.
He's already killed you.
There you go.
Now he's been double killed.
Yeah, he's not getting up from that. Uh-oh.
If you continue to use this weapon in violation of our previous agreement, our alliance is in jeopardy.
General, it might be time to get out of there.
Yeah.
If it were not for the Tauri, we would still be slaves to the Gua'uld. That was in the past.
What have you done for me lately? Is that your argument?
Yeah.
And every day while we lose ground to the Ori, the Tauri homeworld remains curiously untouched.
I assume you've already said what else he's in.
Yeah.
Also, Jafar, who's questioning Cam, the voice employs stage training to me.
Well, he done a lot of US soap operas. Not quite the same thing, but...
Still a tendency to declaim rather than simply speak.
Yeah. What was it? Enunciate to the back row.
Enunciate.
What a discussion. It was a one-way conversation.
Who's eating the sweets? Come on. Do you bring enough for everybody?
Your ears are far too sensitive. These are jellies. They shouldn't make any noise. My QWERTY shorts arrived today, and as always with QWERTY, you get little mini-bag of Haribo.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At first I thought it was something I'd done, but after checking the controls, I realized it wasn't me.
Someone else on board.
That actually looks pretty good with only the emergency lighting on.
Hmm.
Well, the Stargate is our only means of escape.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Jackson, Violet, come in.
Or go out. Entirely your choice.
You can hear me. We're getting the hell out of Dodge.
Too late.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh, spinny thing.
Hey guys, I think somebody put 10 bob into the meter.
Sam?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Sam. It's obvious the power has come on. That doesn't take a leap.
And there the ship goes, slowly raising over the village.
Well, I think with that, I don't care how much anti-gravity you have. Mass is mass. And it takes time to get anything overcoming inertia.
Well, that's why it's moving slowly.
Yes, and the downforce required to lift that object in the air is crushing anything under.
Unless, of course, you've got a mass effect field. Aren't you?
I might be able to override primary systems from the control room.
I assume the breeze...
Oh, dear.
Oh, there we
go. Nice.
You almost feel sorry for him.
That is just... That is sheer arrogance of power, isn't it?
Yeah. That's God mode in any first-person shooter you want to name.
Yeah.
The RI ship, otherwise known as the BFG.
Yeah.
One of the clicky, flashy games I play based on Marvel has a thing called Melt Armor, and I think that would definitely apply there.
No, it's more likely they're still on that ship.
Sir, if that's the case, and it's on its way to rendezvous with the rest of the ORI fleet, we've lost them.
Maybe not. We still may have a shot at rescuing SG-1, provided that ship is headed where I think it is.
The Supergate? Supergate number 2?
No, even he thinks it's heading for Dakara.
Is this the most open secret in the galaxy?
Well, members of the SGC know about the weapon at Dakara. It's probably not general knowledge amongst the Jaffar, but obviously there's enough of them that actually operate out from Dakara that know about it.
Uh-huh.
Not a single soldier of the ORI was left alive.
What's your point?
The only other people on board that ship are from Stargate Command.
You cannot possibly think that Tal'ri are responsible for this.
What other explanation is there?
So he got back to the gate and notified him. Well, yeah, this G1 captured.
However much we may disagree with their tactics.
You were jealous of the power we command through the ancient device. You sought to redress that balance by taking the Ori ship.
This guy's a little bit paranoid. Granted, it's probably a character trait that you need to become Jaffar leader, but still...
You're wondering how many died for him to get to that position.
Yeah, they bowls Jaffar, isn't he?
So are they now the guard? I've been watching a lot of Haven Knight recently, born through season 4 in a week.
Season 5 sorted.
I know, I watched episode 1. I could not watch episode 1 the way season 4 ended.
Love how when the power comes back on, the gas starts flowing to the torches again.
That entire front screen of the bridge was the green screen insert, not just the window. Literally the entire front of it.
There's a question. Who's flying this boat?
Yes.
I know Toman will be happy to see you again.
Toman's alive? He wasn't on the planet with you?
No, I've been traveling with various ships. As the leader of this great enlightenment, it's important that I make my presence known, especially now when the first inroads are being made. Once the rest of the fleet arrives, I'll have a much harder time of it.
How many other ships are coming?
Many, many more.
She's doing the Captain America bit. And ran with the troops.
Yeah.
Rallying port.
So many. So that's what? This is base 4, so what, 20?
Like that.
Well, many, many.
We're going to have to go out there and look for him. Sam?
I'll keep at it.
I don't know about that control seat. Doesn't look that comfortable.
No.
I know the Pryors probably won't complain.
I doubt they can. Like, you're complaining about a sore back? Poof.
That's why they're so stiff.
Always walking around.
Yeah. You know.
Just had their spinal columns fused.
Oh.
Not again.
I don't know why you're complaining. You should be delighted. As the mother of the Orisai, you will be revered by all the followers of Origin.
While I appreciate the celebrity status, I have to admit it would get very tiresome very quickly, especially if I had to perform for the masses. I'm not very good with crowds.
It probably wasn't that long ago Vala would probably have seen that as a reasonably good deal.
Mm.
Well, Tesh maybe, Valor not so much.
No, I know when we first met her. Riches and wealth and fame, do what you want, okay.
Yeah, now she just wants to buff Daniel.
That's it, she's been around Daniel for far too long.
You softened her up.
Well, you know, being around someone who treats death like a basically revolving door.
Until I have brought you into the fold, my mission here is a failure.
I can be very stubborn.
That's fortunate.
Yeah, she can.
If they can make that known, that could be their greatest weapon. She can't even turn her mum. But...
yeah, just keep her distracted for the next, I don't know, 50 years. So.
Yeah, lock her in a door.
Yes.
And there's a difference between devotion and blind submission. You can't expect to win the faith of your followers through fear and intimidation.
Not in their eyes.
I know.
Daniel knows. Valor's already told him that Adria is fully aware of the lie she is telling and you know, totally complicit with the Ori.
There can be no doubt.
It's that simple.
So, it's pretty much still your religion, then.
This is getting a little old, don't you?
Quite right, Cameron.
Turn this ship back immediately.
Love to. Unfortunately, we're not the ones flying it.
You lie!
Would you accuse me of lying as well?
Shoot him! Oh, that'll surprise him.
Your words are poison.
We, in fact, share a common enemy.
Whatever's between us, we can finish that later. Right now, we have to retake this ship.
We don't trust you anymore, Teok. You have hair now. You know, you're not properly bald. Only Junior Jaffa get here. Go on, that was at least my thing, isn't it?
It's a damn shame you couldn't convince him of that straight away.
Adria, listen to me.
I'm sorry, Mother. The time for talking is over.
No. Come on, let Adria do a force choke on you. Small drop of the Imperial March when she's doing the force choke, and perhaps a slight pop in of the, you know, wouldn't hurt. I can't imagine our listeners wouldn't get the reference.
Is that what I think it is?
Takara.
You can almost hear the alarm going off.
What a pretty planet. Shame we're going to blow it up.
Well, at least one bit of it.
Why stop with a bit?
You would try to force us to give up the ancient device rather than have us wield its power.
I'm telling you, my people are not responsible for this.
We will gather our fleet and lay siege to your world.
Oh, he's still... blah, 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 blah. Come on.
He's a politician. What he does is talk.
Yes. We're going to ignore the aura. I'm going to attack Earth instead.
There's an imminent threat out the window and you're worried about...
You're completely fanatical and not listening to reason. Are you sure you haven't embraced Origin already?
You're right, yeah.
With the engines activated, there may be a significantly greater reaction to the C4. The ship may well be destroyed.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
We must not allow this ship to launch an attack.
Ooh, he's gonna blow it up.
Right.
That really was the whole point, wasn't it? It wasn't just to damage the engines.
That was definitely plan B.
That's it, lads.
Nothing's gonna happen.
We salute you.
They're about to do this and on the planet they're worrying that you're gonna attack.
Just trying to think of some appropriate last words.
We'll see.
Not even a blip.
Okay, come on. This
it's
is
a radio signal. She's probably blocking it.
What happened?
No boom.
What a disappointment. I think Teok is taking the place of Don S. Davis at this point. You know? He wants to blow the mountain up.
Yes. Battery? Let me press it. I'll show you how to do it.
Give him.
Take the batteries out, put them back in again, it'll work. Oh, all done, lad.
He's got a cape. Hello, Daedalus. It was a nice ship while we had it. Bye, Odyssey.
SG-1, this is Odyssey. You read?
Odyssey, this is Colonel Carter.
We're going to try and beam you out of there.
It won't work. The shield is still active. I'm trying to shut it down. Please stand ready.
I wouldn't even want to be behind him.
Yeah. At least put a planet between you and the
weapon. Why don't you put the weapon out of function rather than the shield? If you can't shoot, it's not much good unless it's going to ram them.
Well, she accidentally pulled up the shield, so that's all she really knows how to do. Trying to figure out how she did that.
I'm pretty sure it'll drive the fly straight through the Odyssey.
No, you won't.
The Jaffa have finally taken their rightful place as a true power in this galaxy.
it won't be that easy.
Why wouldn't it be? I'm about to destroy the only real threat against us.
You're forgetting about someone. What about the ancients?
You know as well as I do, they'll never get involved. We have free reign in this galaxy.
Adria, listen to me. I promise to stay with you. I'll hear you out on the whole origin thing. I'll even try and keep an open mind.
Victory is close at hand.
They know they'll never get involved, so why go after them?
You're going to take this galaxy because of the power it's going to give them, even if they don't really use it against the ancients. But as I said, the ancients hold a grudge. Even the ascended ones, really, when you think about it. So the Ori eventually are going to say, hang on a minute, let's just get rid of them.
We are ready.
Oh, famous last words.
The whack-a-mole machine, as they called it, as we've seen from Window of Opportunity in Camelot.
And its final appearance, too. Don't you have to touch the top of the pedestal for it to activate? That's how they done it last time.
You'll say, when they designed that weapon, they pretty much decided that time element wasn't critical, was it?
No.
In deployment.
It's not there to fend off an attack.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Nice knowing you.
Odyssey, we're good to go.
Get him the hell out of there.
Yeah, of course, he can't die.
Might be a good idea to go. Well, that's not very polite. Left Adria all alone.
Now!
Warp speed, Mr. Scott. Well, the energy wave is on its way, and those loyal Jafar are still trying to break down the door to get to Adria. Almost feel sorry for them, betrayed by their leaders. And now the inevitable response.
What happened? The weapon appears to have had no effect.
Oh, it did. It just destroyed the only allies you've got.
Yeah, killed more of your men.
It's destroying a mountain.
More dust, people, more dust.
There are actually guys up above the set shaking little plastic buckets full of dust, aren't there?
Yes, it's a job that everybody wants.
Really?
If you're a grip or an extra on the set and you get to throw dust on the stars, you're earning 1,000 times more for that day's work than you are.
I gotta say, though, that was a fairly heavily shielded thing if it's up like 8 or 9 strikes from the Ori weapon to blow up.
Maybe the energy weapon is specific to hitting energy fields and...
Then it is solid rock, too.
There is news.
Okay, Tilt. No need to keep us in suspense. Spill it.
A cargo ship dispatched to the area has reported complete and utter devastation. The Kare is no more.
Meanwhile, we received word that 5 more planets have fallen to the Ori, including Hebridon and Langara.
The Scottish planet fell?
No, that was where Space Race, and Langara is Jones Quinn's planet, so...
Yeah, dear.
More fallback.
That Merlin device is the only shot we have at stopping them.
Then find it. Dismissed.
Not a good day, lads.
Nope.
You think?
The Council is in disarray. The Jafar nation is fractured. And without Dakara to bring us all together, I fear everything we have fought for all these years will be lost.
The Council's alive?
I suppose they made a point that Dakara was the linchpin to holding all the tribes of the Jafar together. And now, once again, Dakara's gone. The High Council's gone again. There's always Braytak. Isn't it about time he took over?
Yep.
Or risk being left behind.
Oh, words of wisdom from Valor.
Yes.
Or just resignation. Something.
She displays the wisdom of a battled seasoned warrior.
She's a mother.
Close enough.
Does that explain it? Seriously, Daniel.
Basically, giving someone with the mind of a teenager all power. What did I think was going to happen? And fade to credit. And watch as the names wiggle up and down. You getting wiggly names, Brad?
Yep. Something's not right there.
Right then, that was Counter-Strike. In the commentary, like I said, was Joseph Andy. They originally toyed with the idea that Adria would kidnap Daniel, kind of torture him for ancient secrets. As we know, I'm sure pretty much everybody that's listened to us has actually seen Stargate first time around, or actually on DVD. Eventually, Daniel does get priorised. Was intended to be a 6-episode arc. Unfortunately, it ended up only coming down to, was it about an episode and a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Daniel was having his baby time off, and also they didn't have too much time because they knew the series was cancelled. Funnily enough, they were talking about Nathan Fillion in the commentary. He was actually considered to be John Shepherd.
Hmm.
Hmm.
not serious, but was one of the names that were brought up. They were pointing out how many actors from Firefly they've had on the series with Marina.
Mm. He would have been headlong into Castle then, wouldn't he?
Castle's only on about season 6, and this were, what, 2005?
Six,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So about 2 years before Castle.
Andy Mikita, who directed this episode, he directed 29 episodes of SG-1, 22 of Atlantis, and 12 of Universe. He also directed episodes of Primeval New World, Cedar Cove, Bitten, Motive, and the new Canadian series Strange Empire. Probably give that a go.
Mm.
Joseph Malozzi, who wrote this episode, he, along with Paul Mully, wrote 38 episodes of SG-1, 15 of Atlantis, and 12 of SGU. He also wrote for Transporter, the series, and wrote the screenplay for Delete.
Mm.
That was a good episode. Plenty of action, plenty of drama. Good to see the in-house Stargate CGI department doing most of the special effects.
And doing it well, as usual.
Yep.
It was brief. Mm.
To the normal for you, I won't tell.
Yeah, just a bit. I might have time to Ingress.
Jack?
Daniel?
Are you you?
Yeah, you.
What?
I like the yellow ones.
Never mind.
We have a little bit of feedback over on Facebook. Becky Knight Truitt said that at the time she felt it was a complete waste of Richard. He came back for a guest appearance, and instead of using him on SG-1, they put him on Atlantis. But now she's watching the episode again, she can see why he was needed. As a standalone, The Real World was excellent. But then, was it a standalone? I replied that it works as a standalone, but obviously fits well into the Pegasus Replicator arc. And yet, RDA added a lot to Atlantis. The producers used him strategically to bolster the show. I also set up a little poll last week, since The Real World was, at least on Twitter, generating some very opposing viewpoints. In the 4 days the polls opened, we had 21 votes, 18 of which were favourable. So I think Elizabeth had maybe more support than even the writers and producers were giving the character credit for. Although a lot had to do with Tori making the most of every opportunity she had to lead an episode.
Come try ya!
There was an announcement the other day that the Paul Mully and Joseph Malozzi penned Dark Matter graphic novel has been picked up and will be produced as a 13-episode series for the Sci-Fi Channel, with secondary rights open to global broadcasters. The show is tentatively slated for a mid-2015 premiere. We also have a few Stargate actor convention appearances in the next month or so. Richard Dean Anderson will be appearing at the Armageddon Expo on the 24th through 27th of October in Auckland. Suanne Braun will also be appearing at the event, as well as a sister event a week earlier in Melbourne, along with Elena Huffman. The Melbourne convention is on the 18th October to the 19th. Tori Higginson and Christopher Judge will be attending Stan Lee's Kamikaze, which takes place October the 31st to November the 2nd in Los Angeles. And Sarah Douglas will be at the Belfast Film and Comic Con October the 25th and 26th. We also have some Stargate-related birthdays over the next week. A few of the more notable include on the 19th of October, Mr. Roger Cross, who only appeared twice on SG-1, but is a major presence in the genre market, with regular and recurring roles on the likes of Continuum, Arrow and The Strain. On the 20th, it's the birthday of Niall Matter and William Russ. Niall appeared twice on Atlantis and has also starred on Eureka, Primeval New World, and will be appearing on the upcoming Constantine. William played Captain Jonas Hansen in the Season 1 Stargate SG-1 episode The First Commandment, and has recently been on NCIS, Vegas and Drones. On the 21st, it's the birthday of Alana Husband. She played Dr. McCormack in the Stargate Universe episode Earth, and finally on the 25th of October, a very happy birthday to Jacqueline Samunda, who was the System Lord Nerti in 3 episodes of SG-1.
Come try ya!
Thanks to everybody that voted, listened, tweeted, posted, favourited, liked, etc, etc. If you want to get in touch with us, you can make use of our contact form over on gatecast.co.uk, and our email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook and Google+, and you can find us on Twitter @thegatecast, which is just the one word. iTunes and Stitcher Internet Radio carry our feed, and you can also manually add it to any podcatcher that takes your fancy. We also have an additional RSS feed, which has every episode we've released. Both of those can be found on our website. Right then, let's get back to the show. This was Counter-Strike. Next week's episode is Common Ground, which
On the next Stargate Atlantis.
Good to see you again, Colonel.
Oh, yeah.
Colonel Shepard is captured by an old enemy.
As soon as my goal is achieved, you'll be returned to Atlantis.
It's my own country's policy to never yield to terrorists.
And he's staying for dinner.
You just crossed a line, Koya.
I honestly don't know how many sessions a man can take.
Even summon a storm is coming, Shepard. If he's fed upon again, he's as good as dead.
Finish it.
Next time on Stargate Atlantis.
Thank you very much for joining us, Brad. I know we left you in kind of alert in what time the episode started.
Oh, good, guys.
Take care, everybody. We will see you next week. I've been Mike.
I've been Alan.
And I've been Brad.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Gatecast, hosted by Alan and Mike. Join us at gatecast.co.uk. Stargate forever.